Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's that time again, and we welcome the only, the one and only, Thabisenge Bazana. Listen, it's one of those times when you get absolutely free advice. It's not cheap, eh? Generally, this kind of advice is not cheap. So I would take advantage of it if I were you. Any, absolutely any legal question. And I promise you, if she doesn't have the answer, she comes back with the answer the following week. So she's in studio with us. Give us a call. Ask any question. 086-000-00959. You can send a voice note on 063-688-0959. Thabisenge, hello.
Hello, hello.
And welcome as usual.
Yay, good to be back.
I think you're going to upset people.
I try
first
not
of all,
to.
The topic is depressing anyway. Divorces are depressing. So ask keys to all of you listening. But this is just how we open the show. We're not going to stay here if you don't want us to stay here. But if you want us to stay here, we can stay here. So ask your questions away. So default divorces, what are those?
Yes. So, I mean, we've talked about marriages so much, but we haven't really touched on how the dissolving of the marriage goes, apart from death, of course, right?
Yes.
So in our country, you can get divorced by way of summons.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summons, when you are served as the defendant, you are given between 10 to 20 days to reply to the summons, right? Whether you're intending to defend the said summons. And
so wait, it's me and Mudibedi.
Oh, Mudibedi.
And I what has to happen is that I get someone sent to him.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
I institute the process.
Mm.
And then he has, did you say 21 days?
10 to 20 days.
10 to 20 days to do to defend.
To
Why
defend.
Is it called defending? So to defend and either, can he just ignore it?
He can.
Which I think they do sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
And defending means what? He would say what? He would say, no, wahlanya. Is that what defending means?
Like, basically.
You're nuts. What?
What you doing?
I won't last in that.
Yeah.
Gahana. And then what would happen? If he were to say that, what technically and realistically would he have to do?
Okay. So he would, in each summons, for somebody who ends up not being represented,
mm-hmm.
there is an attachment just before the particulars of claim, which has the notice of intention to defend, wherein you would fill it in and confirm that I, as Mudibedi, is intending to defend this particular action. And then you send that before the lapsing of time, and then you send what we call your plea and also your counterclaim. So your plea.
But can I just ask seriously?
Yes.
Have you seen those kinds of cases where there's a plea?
Yes.
Skandatla.
Yes.
Hi. So I want to divorce him, and he responds pleading, no, I don't want to leave.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Never. I can't. And what kinds of grounds would this person be giving?
I know I messed up.
Oh, I see.
But I still love you.
Wow. Okay.
That is the be all and end all.
And then how does then the court deal with that?
So now,
because this is not like marriage counseling.
No.
So what then happens if the defendant says, no, I don't want to get a divorce?
Yes. So in the match court, it's rule 23, I think, mm-hmm. if not 28. And in the high court, it's rule 41.
Mm.
You are obliged to mediate. You have to go through this situation where you sit
both
the parties.
Of, even the one who's fed up.
Correct.
Okay.
So we need to come together, see if we can settle this matter in an amicable way. And then when it finally does go to the court, we can show that we have tried to resolve whatever issues that are there. So if Mudibedi, in his reply, in his plea,
says she never gave me a chance.
Yes,
to work at this.
Yes, so that's your.
The court will not proceed.
The court will then refer it
to
mediation.
He must get his chance.
Yes, it will refer to mediation in terms of the rules of the court, and then a mediator. There's always mediators in court. They are for free. Or if both parties have attorneys, the round table are done, and then we try and see if we can solve this thing. Can these people be referred to a marriage counselor? Whatever the case may be.
It can also be seen as a delaying tactic.
Of course. Of course, yes. It can be seen as such.
So Mudibedi would say to the court, no, she hasn't given me a chance. No, I still love her. Blah, blah, blah. Fish paste. And then I'm saying, no, at home, there's no such thing.
Yeah.
The guy, when we leave the court, he leaves the house too.
Yes.
So okay, explain then what do you do if you feel that he's wasting the court's time?
So this is the beauty of the rules of the court.
Mm.
So, right, let's say, okay, let's break it down this way, because there's different forms of dealing with divorce. So there is the unopposed divorce, wherein both parties are in agreement, there's a settlement agreement that is drafted, limnat.
In that case, does it matter who brought the matter?
No, not really, because the court is going to look at the settlement agreement. The only reason that Ospi Miller will be the plaintiff and Mudebedi will be the defendant will be just what we can pinpoint who is who.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's not necessarily that the parties... So in that situation, it doesn't change the process that the summons is still issued.
Mm.
So in most cases, when people are amicable,
we've both agreed equally.
Yes. We are now agreeing. In fact, settlement agreement pertains to just the estate.
Mm.
How we're going to deal with our joint estate, depending on what kind of marriage regime we're in, of course. And then in that settlement agreement, we agree, etc., etc. And then we sign. And then once everything is said and done, then we can issue the summons, because every action application has to be started with a summons.
Mm.
So now Mdibedi is then served with the summons, and then he receives the summons, and then we attach the settlement agreement to the summons, and then we now apply for a date in the unopposed court role in whichever court that you'll be dealing with. So that's the easier one, that's the cheaper one, that's the non-problematic one. You can also get yourself a summons that is issued out by the court. If you don't have an attorney, you can do this thing all by yourself, especially if you know that you guys are not fighting about anything.
Or there are no assets to divide.
Exactly. You guys were married for a year. You guys didn't accumulate anything.
Because maybe, this is the part, guys, let's get to this point. Because it's the truth of the matter is, actually marriage is about... more than anything, the estate.
Correct.
Really. It's got nothing to do with love.
And I always say this, and you laugh at me when nothing I say this every time.
The facts remain. Marriage and divorce is actually all about the estate.
That is correct.
It's about assets.
Yes.
What you've got, what I have, what we divide, what we bring.
Yes.
Simple.
It has nothing. It actually even doesn't.
Don't tell us that you're getting married for love.
Please don't.
Because it's
don't
not about that.
Ever get married for love.
Because it's not about that.
Yeah.
Get married because you want to deal with the matters in a way that tidy.
Yes.
Nizwile. Guys, don't say I didn't tell you. Huh? Okay. So if you're in love, continue being in love. If you want to combine assets, then get married.
Yeah. Plus, please do yourselves a favor. Like, you are saying it now, and we keep saying it every other week, that lenyalo has absolutely nothing to do with love. Put the love in a pocket somewhere when you are dealing with the contract of marriage.
Because no one cares, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Just when it comes to the divorce part, nobody cares. So, you are at the point where you explained to us that you would be at the court.
Yes.
And really, all you would have to be doing is to decide on the assets.
That's correct. And if there are children that are born of the marriage, how we're going to deal with our responsibilities, rights, etc., etc.
What then generally becomes the biggest bone of contention?
Pension funds.
Aha.
Houses.
Mm-hmm.
Children. Those are the three things that are majorly problematic when it comes to divorces.
Mm.
Because I have renovated this house for the past 10 years.
Oh, okay, wait.
Yeah.
So it's you have been paying for the house.
Yeah.
So, and maybe the house is in your name.
Yeah.
But I changed the carpets.
Yes.
I changed this. I did that.
Correct.
And I did that too.
Yes.
So, yes, if it weren't for me, it wouldn't be as pretty as it is.
It wouldn't be a home. Mm. You just have a house.
So you don't necessarily have all the rights in this house, even though in your legal documents, you don't own the house.
Correct. So as long as the marriage is in community of property, even if he owned this house for 50 years, she owns this house 50 years before you combined, as soon as you sign on that line, that house is hers, that house is his. So this is where the bone of contention starts happening. Divorce.
So what's a default divorce?
So a default divorce is a situation wherein a summons is issued,
mm-hmm,
and the 10-20 days
lapse
and there's no notice to defend. So then a notice of bar is issued, and still notice of bar gives you an extension of 5 days to say you haven't replied in the allotted time.
I'm just still thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're giving you an extra 5 days, mm-hmm, to respond. And if you still don't respond, the plaintiff now has the opportunity to then approach the court to say, I've tried. I haven't found this person. Because
the summons has to be delivered to them personally.
Correct. And if not personally, to somebody who can actually confirm that I know Mudibedi.
He's coming back home this evening.
Yes. And then that person can then sign and say, I received this summons on behalf of, as long as that person's over the age of 16.
So Mudibedi can refuse to receive the summons. As it happens all the time.
Like they run.
I'm not home. I'm not at work. I'm just not available.
Yes. Mm. Yes. So now the courts, because it's divorce, unlike other normal contracts and whatnot, they want to give every party the opportunity to be heard, right? So what they do is that no, before you go to the court and apply for a default in the summons, you need to make an application for what we call a substituted service. Right. Mm-hmm. So the normal service is that a sheriff is going to come to your house, knock on the door and say, listen, here's a summons. Please sign for it.
Mm.
So if we have failed and the sheriff has made returns of non-service, and then they show I was on this day here and this is what happened for about 3 times, then we attach that proof of non-service to make an application to the court to say, listen, court, we have tried, we have failed, but we have information that Mudibedi lives in this area.
No, we see Mudibedi. As soon as the sheriff leaves, Mudibedi comes out.
Yeah. Mm. So we know he lives in this area. We know he works in this area. So we are requesting that can we serve him via WhatsApp, via Facebook, via email.
Facebook.
Bona. Any and everything. Can we use any and everything that is available to us to have him served?
Mm-hmm.
And then the court, looking at all of the proof that we've done, that we've failed, then says, sharp. And then we send an email, we send a WhatsApp, we send you
an inbox.
And
even if he's blue-ticking you,
it doesn't matter.
It's been sent.
It's been sent. Mm. And then you are given that time again to respond, and you still fail. Now you can approach the court and say, I've tried, and it's not working out. So I'm now praying. The prayers that I have in my application, in my particulars of claim, whereby I'm saying I want Mudibedi to forfeit the house, to forfeit the car, to forfeit my pension fund, to forfeit everything, can then now be granted because there's no other side. And then that's how the court now grants your divorce in default, an application for default judgment.
Because you thought you were smart and clever, and then because you didn't want to show up, the court will then do it for you.
Correct. And then that's when you get people coming to say, but I went to Home Affairs to go renew, I don't know, my ID, and then they told me I'm divorced. I never got a summons, I never got this, I never got that. And then I went to the court and I do find, here's the decree of divorce. How can that happen when I was never even served? This is the process that would have been followed. And most of the time people are away in one form or another that they've been served, but they ignore all this paperwork and then think that because I'm not responding, the divorce cannot happen because I did not respond.
And you can be divorced and still live in the same house.
Yes.
I can divorce you and still stay here.
Yeah.
And you can do nothing about it. Because I get one, I don't want to pitch in court.
Yeah.
And you can't get rid of me because maybe the court decree, the divorce decree said, yes, we grant you the house. So don't ignore the summons.
Please don't.
Moral of the story. Yeah. Don't ignore the summons.
Yeah.
We've got an SMS here. It says, hi, Ntabiseng, how do you successfully prove a constitutional damage in civil court?
Constitutional how?
I have no idea. What do you think this question is saying?
I don't know, because that is such a broad concept. Because constitutional damage can be ranging from your constitutional rights in the Bill of Rights. It can deem property rights. Now you're looking beyond the Bill of Rights. So it depends what the delict is, what the actual problem is. Because the proving of any kind of damage is the same, whether it's constitutional or otherwise. So what you would need to do is to prove that maybe there was an agreement, or you were an owner of a particular thing, and then it got damaged at the hands of Ntabiseng, and then Ntabiseng had acknowledged maybe that she's going to pay, and she failed to pay, and you then suffered damages as a result, and therefore you are claiming them to the amount of X. So, you know, that's all you need to do. And then the other party obviously has the right to reply to your papers to say, no, I did not contribute to any damages and blah, 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 blah. And then the court will then look at both sides and decide which one is more probable versus the other. So that is a very broad concept.
Yeah, I'm not. I also, you would have to, you'd have to give us more.
Because
I don't know. I don't even have the name of this person. So maybe give us a bit more for that particular person who sent this this text, so that we can get a better sense of what the question is. Let's take a quick break. Ntabiseng, we'll be back with your calls. We'll be back with your questions. We can do that on voice note, or you can call in on 086 00000959. You can send a voice note on 063 688 0959. Ntabiseng's here to answer all your legal questions. All right, Ntabiseng Dubazana is here, 086-00-00959. We've got a voice note coming through on 063-688-0959. Okay, so that particular person has not responded to that. So a constitutional matter would go to the constitutional court, yes, no?
Not necessarily. It will start in the match court most of the time, but the match court can make a ruling or a decision on a constitutional matter, so they'll make a decision and maybe refer to the high court. But most of the time, it starts in the high court, not in match court.
Yeah.
So the high court will make a pronouncement on constitutional matters. They're not barred from doing that, but that constitutional matter will then be confirmed in the constitutional court, whether the high court judge has made the correct ruling with regard to that constitutional issue. So, yeah, I just wish that they would have given us a little bit more detail on what it is that they were referring to.
Okay. I've got Stephen here on X who's asking, I have been trying to get my husband to sign the summons for some time. It's been 2 years now. It was one thing after another. We're now at a point where I have run out of money to get legal assistance, and I need this divorce finalized.
I don't understand how husband would need to sign for the summons. I'm assuming the sheriff is coming, and then he's not receiving it. Fine. So what your attorney should have done, got the first three times before it became 2 years, it would have been a situation that there's a return of non-service, like I said, and then they make an application to the court for substituted service, and then thereafter, when they've been granted that, serve him, and then wait for those days to expire, the DS, like it's called, and then when those days have expired, then they make an application for a default divorce based on the papers. The fact that he's not responding should not be a hindrance to the divorce.
So this person says they've run out of money. What now? And so, they had... Obviously, they're here now, 2 years later.
Right. So, firstly, approach legal aid. See if you can qualify for that.
But you'd have to qualify.
You have to qualify.
If you are working and all of that, you would not.
You probably won't qualify. However, if you can at least pay a consultation fee so you can get an idea on what it is you need to do step by step. Because these things, these notices that we're talking about, they're free, they're online, they're everywhere. You just need to know how to amend them.
If you're going at it alone now, after having started with lawyers, Do you have to start over again?
No. You continue where they left off.
But would they get their paperwork from the lawyers?
It's in the court file. So everything you file has to, the original is always going to be in the court file.
So you can walk away from the lawyers and go to the court.
Yes.
And then continue from there.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So now because...
You don't need to be held hostage by the lawyers.
Yes.
Okay.
So what you need to do is then approach the clerk and inform them that we have a return of non-service. This person hasn't been... working with the sheriff. I'd like to continue with my divorce on default, but I know before I do that, I have to show the court that I have been trying to serve him. I would like to start the process of substituted service, and then they can just show you they must have paperwork that is ready for such an application, and then the court can grant you that, and then you can send it via SMS, WhatsApp, Facebook, whatever the case may be, and then you wait again for that period, and then when that time has come and gone, then you approach the court for a default.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tabo on X is asking, what happens if I ignore summons from a small claims court?
Don't ignore summons from anyone. Any summons that you ignore will lead to a default judgment being granted against you in one form or another. So people tend to think that small claims court is not court. It's just something nyana where people go to complain about small monies. No. The commissioner who's sitting there, whatever decision they make on behalf of the person who's appearing before them, that thing is binding. So you now have a default order against you. And if it happens to be with regard to money and you haven't paid, and then they go and list you on the TransUnion or whatever the case may be, you'll be complaining, saying that, but I wasn't aware that this and that is happening. Never, ever, ever, ever ignore a summons. Rather approach the person who is issuing that summons, whether it's the attorney or somebody that you know, the person themselves. Rather make arrangements, come into a settlement, come into an agreement, and that will pause the litigation. But if you ignore it, it makes things worse for you.
Mm. I've got a message here. It's also text. Good evening, ladies. Just out of interest, why is it that once a divorce decree has been issued by the court, Home Affairs does not issue divorce certificates after you've submitted the decree? Where, if it's reporting birth or child, they issue birth certificate. When a person dies, they issue death. That's such an interesting question.
I actually don't know, hey?
That's such an interesting question.
It should be, but it's not there. It's not. There's no such thing as a divorce certificate.
And besides that, did you say that automatically if you go to Home Affairs, your ID would say that you're divorced?
Your status on Home Affairs mm-hmm. will show that you are divorced.
Will it be automatic?
Once you've submitted your decree.
But you must go submit.
You have to go, because if you don't go, they will never know.
But this question is very valid.
Mm.
Why is it not automatic if birth is automatic?
No, birth is not automatic, because you also have to fill it. You have to inform them.
Yeah, I suppose because they are at the hospital and all of that.
Yes.
Systems are...
And even death, you have to go. And that's why we have a death notice.
Mm.
Yeah, so with everything that happens, you have to physically inform. Yeah. The only difference is that there's no divorce certificate. It's a divorce decree.
From the court only.
Yes. And I think because the reason, maybe I could be wrong, but I think maybe the reason behind that is because a decree becomes very intricate. It's not just a certificate that Motukio or
Sai. Guys, unless if Ray mystificate you check it up. You don't like, divorce is not like that.
No.
It's not an achievement.
No.
It's not an achievement.
No.
Maybe your birth is an achievement. It's something to celebrate. No, I wouldn't say that death is, but maybe.
So, you know, Gadi's settlement agreement, did that need to be attached to these decrees? Or maybe there was an order that dictates how the estate must be dealt with. So it's not something that can be put down in a certificate. Perhaps that is why Home Affairs does not have a divorce certificate.
All right.
Yeah.
Sandile is asking that they have a matter of a deceased sibling.
Yes.
Who had cover? I think it's funeral cover.
Yeah.
Who had cover? However, the company the sibling was working for has held on to the funds and as a family, we are struggling to get the payout paid to us.
Who has the letter of executorship? That's the only person who can have access to those funds, not the family. So, like we've always said, upon death, you then go fill in the paperwork to declare that this person is now deceased. That paperwork is then submitted to the master's office. And then an executor is appointed with that paperwork. That executor is then bound to open what we call an estate letter account. The office where the deceased works, if there's no one who is nominated to be the beneficiary of the monies, then the monies go straight to the estate letter account. So if they have not done this as yet, that is why they are not getting any joy. So they must start the process and then get an executor who's going to assist them. If the estate is over 250,000, they have to get an attorney who's going to assist them as an agent, and then they will assist them in opening what we call an estate letter account, and then all the monies of the deceased is going to be paid in that, and once the estate is wound up, the monies can be released to the beneficiaries.
Okay, there's an update on this.
Mm.
And the question is, is the company entitled to keep the money that they had insured the sibling for?
Yes. So if they had insured him for whatever, remember, insurance benefits the person who is insuring, not the person who has been insured. So depending what kind of insurance it is as well. So if the insurance is to, let's say the work was, I don't know, going underground, and as a result he's going to end up injured in one form or another, or perhaps die. The insurance is that should he die, then we are able to recoup whatever losses we would suffer as a result. That belongs to the employer. But if the money, the insurance was for the benefit of the deceased, then it should be belonging to the deceased or the estate itself. So, yeah.
Someone is responding. And just because I don't want to do this to him, I'm not going to say who it is, but they're saying the jury's out on whether or not divorce is an achievement. I'm going to out him tomorrow. Just saying, he says. That's funny. That's actually very funny. Okay, here's one. Hi, Pamela and Tabi. Say, my wife and I separated for 9 years and we shared proceeds of our properties and assets, except assets that were worth about 25,000 rand. I have a debit of 70,000 that was made when we were staying together. Our children are independent. Can my wife challenge my divorce? That's interesting.
9 years later.
They've been separated, I get it. So, in other words, they decided to have about the divorce.
Okay.
And we shared proceeds of our properties and assets, except assets that were worth about 25. So, they continued this thing. It was an arrangement. Let's call it that. I have a debit of 70,000 rand that was made when we were staying together. So, again, this was an arrangement. Our children are independent. So I suspect now they're at this point where the children are now independent.
Mm.
Maybe they stayed together because children were still minors.
Babies, yeah.
Can my wife challenge my divorce? I would.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. I mean, what's the problem? What's the problem? I get it. We've all agreed. We've all agreed. You do you. I do me. You continue paying 70,000 rand. I get it. Yo. Well, now, keep going, Baba. Keep going. Paying the debit, that's 70,000. Nah? Just, we are fine. We are fine. This is working. Hmm? And we share what we share. You know, proceeds from the properties and so on.
Yeah.
Happy for me.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Huh?
When it's Christmas, we come together. The children come home. And everybody's happy. What's 9 years?
What the problem is?
What's the problem? Nine years. So much. Just keep going. Yeah. Okay. So what am I not seeing? I think this is working just fine. Can she challenge this divorce?
If she wants to,
yes,
she can.
Because she can simply say it's working. Yeah? I mean,
Or best still, put the current arrangement in a settlement agreement and then divorce.
No, she doesn't want to. The reason she's going to challenge this thing is because this idea of you not continuing to pay the 70,000 is not a very nice one.
Actually, we're going to put the idea on a settlement agreement again. Going forward, it continues. It doesn't stop.
He's not going to agree either. Because he brings it up. The fact that
he's bringing it up
means that he wants to clear himself of this debt.
Then yes, he's looking at a very interesting challenge, because she can show cause that it's been happening.
I'm also curious why you've been staying with this issue for 9 years, and yeah, what suddenly has changed for you that wants that. I mean,
new love.
If it's
I'm just saying.
You're missing the point. Okay. We said earlier, love has got nothing to do with this.
No. Akira, the new love is challenging the current marriage. No.
He's learned now. This has got nothing to do with love.
Okay.
Even the new person, he must just. This is just an arrangement. I'm genuinely just curious.
Yeah.
Why, after 9 years, suddenly, what's the problem?
There's a change.
Baba, what's the matter? Huh?
And perhaps maybe the realization that I might kick the bucket tomorrow, and my assets, the way I thought were going to be dealt with, may not be, because this person still has authority over the joint estate.
You'd be dead.
Mara, I still want my assets to be dealt with in a different way without her.
You've got children.
Yeah, but they're old.
So what?
I want my assets to be dealt
with. To go to the new person.
Yes.
Good evening. When it comes to customary marriage, does the prenup need to be registered 3 months before the lobola day, or just submissions are needed? Like, do we have to wait 3 months before the lobola day takes place?
No, there's no 3 months. As long as it's registered before lobola.
It can be registered the day before.
Yes, or a week before. It doesn't matter. As long as it's registered before lobola, you are good. You're good to go.
I sense people are getting wiser.
Yes, I'm so happy. I am so happy.
I think people are getting wiser, and they're taking your advice quite seriously.
Yes.
Let me take a break, and we'll be back with more of your questions on 086-000-00959, or send those voice notes on 063-688-0959. Thanks for staying with us. 086-000-00959. Tavi Singh Dubazana is here to take all your legal questions. We were just saying off air that you were saying, in fact, opposing a divorce can be a very expensive exercise.
Extremely expensive. I tend to say it's better to just stay married.
Like these two, separated for 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah, because divorce can get very, very expensive.
Explain.
So we've done the summons. Now the notice of intention to defend is now in.
Mm.
Now we have our plea and we have our counterclaim.
Mm-hmm.
So the plea is an answer to the particulars of claim in the summons. So in your particulars of claim, you're stating that unchitezi, unanin kukaikai, unanin this, unanin this, unanin that. And I want to claim 50% of this, and I want 50% of that, and I want that he must forfeit whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's now replying in his papers to say, no. Why should I forfeit anything, whereas we are married and I have entitlement, depending on the marital regime, to claim a certain percentage of the estate? I want this. So now let's flip. Usually we say that we are claiming 50% of the man's pension. Mm-hmm. Let's flip it. Now you are the one who's working. He has not been getting a proper income or whatever, so he doesn't have the pension fund.
Mm.
He's now looking at your pension fund, which is sitting at 2 million rand.
Mm.
He wants to claim 50% of that, which is a million is going to come to him with cash.
Mm.
And then he says he must pay his debts as well. Remember, a joint estate is both liability and assets and all of those things. So now, once he's done his plea and counterclaim and asking what he's asking for, you now reply to the counterclaim to give your reasons why you are not agreeing with the counterclaim. So now that the pleadings are closed, we are now dealing with what we call discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So discovery is wherein now the plaintiff is saying, I am seeking these documents, that document to prove that you have money in this particular bank, I want proof of this and this. And now the courts have also made it compulsory for us to do what we call a financial disclosure affidavit. Mm-hmm. So every single asset that you have, every single bank statement that you have has to be in the financial disclosure affidavit. And then in discovery, it goes both ways, so that you can get from this side and you get from this side. So now, this is still just the normal divorce process. In the middle of those divorce processes, there are things that you call interlocutory proceedings. So proceedings that happen within the divorce. Mm-hmm. So let's say there's minor kids involved. Mm-hmm. So
and a property, maybe real assets.
Exactly. So in those situations, the minor kids need to go to school. They need to do this and that. We need to pay the bond. We need to pay the levies. We make an application in terms of Rule 43. In the High Court, in the lower courts, it's Rule 58. And it's whereby I want interim maintenance now. Remember, we're still dealing with the main divorce, mm-hmm. but now in the middle of divorce, I'm wanting interim maintenance. And in the interim maintenance, I'm claiming Rabbani, in order for me to have the life that I am accustomed to, mm-hmm. you still have to continue as if you're still in the same roof. Mm. So I am claiming from you 50,000 rand per month because that's the lifestyle that we lived. And now that's more payment because you have to deal with this interlocutory proceeding.
Can I ask this question? About lifestyle.
Yes.
And how the court rationalizes mm-hmm. what maintenance is fair.
Yes.
Right? So if in this lifestyle, brother says they've been separated for 9 years, they probably have been married for longer.
Mm.
And in this lifestyle, one of the things, or some of the things that were in this lifestyle, were nice to haves because they were a lifestyle choice. Maybe it was 2 overseas holidays for the family because it's a lifestyle thing, right? But it's not something that they cannot live without. Can the one, is it the plaintiff in this case, say, "Ke lifestyle.
Mm.
We've been accustomed. These children don't know any other way. They've always only known how to be tourists overseas. They do not know short left. How about easy? And school holidays are always overseas.
Yeah.
And I mean, they will die.
They
will die if we said to them this year, we're not going anywhere.
Mm.
So it just has to be. Is that justifiable?
It's literally what goes into the papers. Exactly what you just said. It's exactly what is put in the papers. And then they go and they quote Section 7 of the Children's Act to say that it is the best interest of the child. And then they go subsection K.
And I would go further. And I'd say, I have had to maintain my body with liposuctions, plastic surgery, and
I've actually seen papers that said that.
And it's every year, maybe every 2 years.
Yeah.
There has to be adjustments here and there, and a tuck here and a nip there and a whatever, and it's the lifestyle.
Yes,
he found me perfect.
Yes,
and now I mean I am now this thing because I've had 4 children, and because he found me perfect, he has to keep maintaining this beautiful body of mine, and therefore he has to maintain this body.
Mm.
And keep paying for the nips and the tucks.
Yep. These are the things we see in the papers. Yep.
And then they're granted.
Most of the time, yeah. So the courts have seen that, hi man, this Rule 43, Rule 58 is being used as a quick way to get cash and all of that. So they've deemed it to be what is reasonable in the circumstances of that particular case. So
if I do not get my nip and tuck, I'm going to be depressed.
You see.
And that's mental illness. And yeah, there's just not, I cannot be fat. I would die.
Yeah.
I would die. Yeah. What would people say?
Yeah. Hmm? So these are the things that are put in the papers for the interim.
For my mental health.
Yeah. Whether it will be granted, but these are the things that we see in the papers. And then over and above that, he was the breadwinner. For everything, so he must also still pay for the actual main divorce. I want money towards the main divorce. Over and above him maintaining me until the divorce is over, I still want him to pay my attorneys, which costs, I don't know, 500,000. I want that to be paid up front to the attorneys.
A relationship where there was a decision in this relationship for the one partner to be a stay-home parent.
Yeah.
To what extent does that affect decisions about, you know, this? You said there are two processes
here. Yeah.
There could be the maintenance while this process is underway,
yeah,
and then there is the actual divorce settlement as,
yes,
well.
Yes. So it very significantly.
Because if I have not been working for 25 years, and perhaps when we met, I was a professional.
Yes.
But I haven't been working for 25 years. I have completely lost touch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, yeah. These are things I've
considered. But I've had this lifestyle.
Yeah, you've had this lifestyle, which was provided for by this particular
and
individual.
And it was his idea.
Yeah. These things are taken into consideration. And the court grants these orders. I was actually quite surprised when a Rule 43 application was granted for a woman who was not married to this man. But Nile Faten said, and this man is paying 43,000 rand. Per month, pending what she deems to be the finalization of, I forgot what the main application is, but that's what happens. She was a stay-at-home girlfriend.
Yes, girl. Hello, Ospimelo. I have a question regarding the estate. My mom passed away in 2020 and she left a will. Now, my stepsister has chased us out of the house. She's the owner of it and her kids, but she's not in the will. She's staying in that house and she's not paying any services. I do pay, but I'm not living there. I think that's what it means. I've rented a room, so I need help about that, and she has a copy of the will, so I need advice.
It sounds like there was no registration
of
the estate and everything. Yeah. So if she has the will and she won't give it up, it means even if you were to go to an attorney and say that there's a will, you're not going to get that will, right? So what I would suggest is that you go see an attorney, fill in the required paperwork for mom's estate, and then report the estate as intestate with the master, because you don't have a copy of the will. And then you will be appointed as executor of the estate. Once that is done...
Hold on. Can that be contested?
Yes.
Because,
that's the main purpose
right
of it.
Right there.
Yeah.
No, the issue of being an executor.
Yeah.
Can that be contested?
It can.
And at that point, what happens?
So at that point, she... who is now currently living in the house, if she contests,
yes, she
this,
can say no.
She has to produce reasons why. And when she provides reasons why she's contesting this divorce, she has to bring forth the information.
If you have siblings,
yeah,
right? I mean, it's siblings. It's,
yeah,
not... How would the court decide one or the other being executor of an estate?
Usually we, in the paperwork, the initial reporting papers,
mm-hmm,
there's a next of kin affidavit. In that next of kin affidavit, the other siblings, they agree amongst themselves in that paperwork to say, but we are nominating Thabiseng to be the executor.
We are both disagree.
In that situation, they can both be executors.
Oh, I see.
You can be co-executors.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in this situation, it doesn't sound like there's any getting along.
Mm-hmm.
So she must go report it. It will be reported interstate. And then she will have papers, the executive papers. And then she can start winding up the estate, which includes that particular property. And then when she, the one who's living in the property, starts contesting, then she needs to give reasons why she's contesting. And then she'll have to produce that will that she's been hiding.
Why did you agree to be kicked out?
That's another thing.
You should have stayed.
Yeah.
Anonymous, thanks for calling. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Oscar Allen, Yogi Tapsi.
Hi,
hello, Putin.
Yeah, I have a situation here. The people, I understand they were divorced because, you know, our parents were secretive.
Mm.
They were divorced, but they're living together. And and the one died, the husband died, but the remaining spouse had written a will. And this will, there were two properties.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining spouse had bought a property for herself.
Mm-hmm.
But when she makes a will, she involves the two properties, and she writes the will as if she was in charge of the other two properties.
Okay.
So in the papers, in the matter of the court, the files don't show that the divorce happened. What could have happened?
Did we go to Home Affairs to go and confirm that there is actually a divorce? Because if there is no proof of a divorce, they'll be deemed to still be married.
Okay, man. So I can't go and find it at the court. The divorce decree.
You can, if you have a case number. Because that's how
the case number for the divorce.
For the divorce, yes. If you're able to do all the names of the parties and you have an idea on where the divorce was granted, which court, in other words, ne? So you go to the court with the names of the parties and it's in Thabiseng and Mudibedi, and then see if there's anything of that sort in their archives. But if it's more than 5 years, the archives are not going to be in the court. They're stored somewhere else, so that might take some time.
More than 5 years, and I don't have any case number, nothing.
Yeah,
but
no.
Go to Home Affairs.
No, well, if they registered the divorce, then maybe it will be on Home Affairs. It will show in the death certificate. It will say either divorced or whatever, because it would have been registered. But if it wasn't registered, I would suggest that you go to the court in which you think the divorce could have been granted, and then you give them the names of the parties or the mom and dad and see if there was a divorce decree. But if
I am afraid I don't have that.
Yeah, then in that case you might just have to accept that the marriage still subsists, and then mom really had the authority to include the will, the other property, sorry, in her will, because I'm assuming they were married in community of property.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it can happen that there was no divorce.
It's possible. It's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks,
Ndata.
Tebogo in Daveyton. Hi.
Hi, man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, man. I'm making a follow up on the text that you read earlier.
Which one is that?
Regarding the estate with my mom passing and the stepsister.
God. Okay. Are you the one who was kicked out of the house?
Yeah, they kicked us out of the house because of they went and applied for protection order twice, and then the third time they opened up a case against me as they locked my room.
Yeah.
And then as I was coming from work, I opened the room first because of using their own key there.
Mm.
I built in my room and then opened up the case for them for malicious damage.
Mm. When you say we, how many of you were kicked out?
That's me and my kid.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
It's you and the grandchildren.
The will nominates me and has got an executor. So, but she doesn't take any of those. She's got a copy of the will. She knows everything what my mom said in the will, but now she just want to boss us.
Do you have another copy?
Yes, I do have a copy of the will.
Oh, then that's fine.
I do have the letter of executorship.
Oh, then what's the problem?
La Motaba.
She's using these things. She's violent to us, and then she's always involving the cops. And then
why don't you involve the cops, Onadu?
I do involve the cops because of she's done a lot of things like those, and then I've tried to involve the cops. The one child she's involved with the cop. So now when we go to the police station to open up the case, they don't take the matter serious because of now.
I understand.
One child is involved with the cop, and then
it's fine. But let me just quickly ask you this, Tebogo, before we give everything to Thabiseng. You are the executor of the property, of the estate.
The executor of the estate is my cousin, so the will is written under my name.
Oh,
I don't understand.
My mom made our cousin an executor.
Okay.
I am nominated as the child.
As a beneficiary.
So do you not want to sell this house? Is that an option?
Yes, that's an option because of now I'm like fighting to sell the house. Because they don't want to move from the house. I didn't chase them from the house. They are the ones chasing me from the house.
So what do you mean you are fighting? Why don't you just sell it?
She's looking. I've involved the property 24.
Yeah.
because they cannot access the house. She locks the gates anyhow as she wants. She locks the house. No one can come and view the house as I want to sell the house.
I think it's criminal matter.
She's bullying. And well, then I went to the cops, trying to report her, but the cops didn't help me with anything.
Let me tell you, hey, when Atebogo, Thabiseng is the perfect person, because Thabiseng likes cases like this. She's pro-men, and when a guy is bullied, that's exactly what she likes. So I think she's going to be able to help you.
So what I would say is that approach her cousin to wind up this estate quickly, because it sounds like, Hore, it's over 250,000. You guys have an attorney, yes?
We've tried to get somebody to represent us. I've tried that.
But you are failing. No, the exact. Not. Let's forget the fights between the siblings. Let's talk about the estate. Does the estate have an attorney that is appointed to assist with winding up?
Not yet, ma'am.
Okay.
Not yet.
Right. So that's the first thing that you need to do. Get yourself an attorney who's going to assist with winding up of this estate. Because her not allowing Property 24 to come in and selling, and it's irrelevant. Because we're going to be winding up this estate whether she likes it or not. And that property is going to be part and parcel of this estate. And the person who holds the papers of the executorship, which is your cousin, has a right to draft papers for eviction to get her out of that property. So, but you need an attorney who's going to assist you with all of these things. That's why it's taking so long. You guys unfortunately don't know the processes, and even if you did, the master's not going to listen to you without you having an attorney to assist you. So that's the first step. Get an attorney who's going to assist, and then it will dictate everything going forward, because she has no rights over that property, and the executor has the right to make an application for eviction to have her removed from that particular property, and then the beneficiary to be the one to take over the property, because all that needs to be done is to transfer the property into your name per the will. And if you can get the property transferred into your name by virtue of the will through a conveyancer, then you have the power to kick her out, because now the property is actually yours. But you can only do these things if you have an attorney on board with you guys. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, okay, Ntabiseng, let's give people your details.
All right. So our number is 087-265-8010. Our WhatsApp number 079-654-7523. Our email info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za. Otherwise, we are at 272 Oak Avenue on the ground floor, suite G9.
All right, guys. I'll be back tomorrow at 8. Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.